as of 2020, I no longer have dissociative identity disorder, which confuses and astounds people because it's commonly referred to that you can never heal from that. If you have that, that's just who you are and the way you'll experience things for the rest of your life. But I'm here to say no amount of complex trauma, especially some things that happened during childhood before you even had a self to choose what you were experiencing in life, that does not get to define the rest of your life.
Welcome to the Inspired to Thrive podcast. I'm your host, Phoebe Lay, and in each episode, I will be sharing with you insights from either an inspiring person or myself to help you thrive and shine online and in person. We talk about all things marketing, relationships, money, business, growth, mindset, and more. So thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you inspired to thrive. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Inspired to Thrive and Shine podcast. I'm very delighted as today I have with me a special guest, Kristen Windsor, who is a teacher and a mentor that leads people to return home to their innate wholeness, restore well-being in their body, mind, and soul, and create the life that they desire through empowered joy and inner freedom. Kristen has independently self-healed over 100 debilitating health battles with 20 years of complex trauma and 7 years of amnesia through her own neuroscience-based methods. Kristen emphasizes moving beyond surface symptoms and past memories to address the neuroscientific root cause of our personal experiences. And through deep healing of her own, she leads her clients to liberate your time and identity through the awakened consciousness of your authentic soul. By learning a unique method of parts, somatic, and mirror work, Kristen guides you to become your own healer and hero, to nourish conscious relationships with all parts of your mind, body, and soul, to reclaim power, become your own happy ever after, and create heaven on earth from within. Along with her podcast and social media, Kristen's Quantum Catalyzers offers books, courses, and personalized mentorship with the intention to end generational trauma. Kristen, welcome to the show. Oh my goodness, it's so good to have you on.
Thank you so much. I'm really, really grateful to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity to share this magic.
It is massive. I think that what we're going to discuss today is, wow, it's a big topic. I am very impressed by your story. I've only had a glimpse of the chance to get to know you and to hear your side of what you've been through. It's not only so rare to come across another human being that is so self-aware and conscious, but you have healed over 100 debilitating health battles through your own self-healing method. And you've already shared with me in the past about your own health battles. I'd love for the audience to be able to hear, what was that process like? What did you experience in the past, and how have you been able to overcome those health challenges? Obviously, we tend to have health issues along the way, as especially when trauma comes up and emotions get stored in the body. And if that we don't deal with it, it turns into debilitating health issues. So I want to hear all about that.
Yay, thanks so much for holding space. So my self-healing journey really started in 2017. At that point, my past self, my inner evolutionary hero, as I call her, had been on this healing journey for a long time. By that point, she, my past self, had been in mental health care treatment for 10 years and seen over 100 doctors, been given every diagnosis in the book, new diagnosis every other year, basically, major depressive disorder, bipolar disorder, PTSD, psychosis, dissociative identity disorder. Okay, I'm managing the symptoms and I can survive, but there was never a sign of hope that the struggles could ever be permanently resolved. And treating the surface symptoms without lasting resolution is not the healing that we should be seeking. And so at that point, been in mental health care for 10 years, things have been absolutely debilitating. There were so many struggles, and finally it got worse, and my brain lost the ability to form new memories. And that lasted for 5 long years. And so at that point, quit all traditional care and started my own self-healing. And so through that process, there was complex PTSD from 20 years of complex trauma, multiple bad things, starting with sexual abuse at age 4. And then there was a variety of other things that happened, including multiple sexual and physical assaults as an adult. So just a series of complex trauma. So complex PTSD, aphasia, where the brain lost the ability to access language centers, could not physically speak. There was anterograde amnesia, and my brain could not form any new personal memories for 5 long years. There was split brain hemispheres, where my brain could only be accessed half at a time. My past self could only access half of her brain or her body at a time. There was cerebral hypoxia, chronic oxygen deprivation. So it was on oxygen tubes every hour of every day for many years. Fibromyalgia, full body chronic pain, vasovagal syncope or sporadic fainting spells, just lose consciousness, completely collapse to the ground, not know what to do about it. Cranial nerve dysfunction. Prosopagnosia, where you can't recognize the face of other people. It's like a family member or a loved one would enter the room and there was no understanding of who they were. Really severe stuff. Alice in Wonderland syndrome, dysregulation in brainwaves, nervous system, sensory processing disorder, could not fully feel the sensations on my skin, hear sounds, see sights, smell, taste, touch. It was all being distorted. Could not access the sensations of daily life that make life so worth living. Complete mind-body disconnect. The mind felt like a thousand voices, and the body was constantly reliving trauma without an ability to be present. And the mind and the body had no connection with each other. They didn't really know what was going on in the other world, totally separate. There is tachycardia and bradycardia, so really disrupted heart rate variability that provided so many battles for physical health in other ways as well. Not to mention the anxiety, panic attacks that would last for 2 full hours, depression, bipolar, insomnia, eating disorders, self-harm, and substance abuse that had been going on for 10 years to cope with things. That was the 10 years of failed treatments where 100 doctors couldn't really actually help. There was psychosis type experiences, including every form of hallucination, derealization, depersonalization, over 50 types of dissociation that I identified in my self case study, dissociative identity disorder, or multiple personalities in air quotes, age regression, where parts of the brain and body would revert to halted stages of neurodevelopment that had gotten stuck because of the suppressed childhood trauma. And then it was just the definition of a living hell to experience that every day and to have already gone through the process of I've seen the doctors, I've done the therapies, I've done CBT, DBT, EMDR, ISF, neurofeedback, tried over 100 combinations of 40 different meds at one point, taking 16 pills a day as prescribed when I couldn't even keep food down. To have that level of hopelessness is indescribable. To see that the struggle is there and to see no way out and to have tried everything that you know of that could support it. And so it was at that point that my inner evolutionary hero taught herself neuroscience, developed her own revolutionary self-healing method of neuroscience-based heart, somatic, and mirror work. And achieved 100% healing resolution of every single one of those battles in just 3 years. Just 3 years. When these things had started at age 10 and no one had been able to help, boom, doing this one method, which is what I guide my one-on-one clients through, boom, 3 years, I never have to struggle with any of those things ever again. But then it was really intense because on the other side of that, I was like, okay, those things are resolved, but then a new problem came. And so it was like the body was reliving these somatic sensations that it had no memory of. And then on top of that, there was zero access to personal memories from my entire life. So I couldn't remember those past few years of healing. I couldn't remember my adulthood. I couldn't remember my childhood. And I healed all of that too. And in all of that healing, it was decades of complex trauma, hundreds of battles from the trauma, not being able to form new memories, and then on the other side of that, not being able to remember my entire life. But I did not have to work with conscious memories to heal any of that. And so to just achieve that level of transformation in a relatively short period of time where it's permanent resolution, those issues will never resurface because they were healed at their root cause. This should be the standard of healing that we are experiencing.
Absolutely. Wow. Firstly, thank you so much for your vulnerability. My goodness, I can't even comprehend what you have been through in the last few decades. And I don't think anybody will be able to. I'm sure that's something that is deeply personal. And for you to share that with us on this podcast is unreal. It's really interesting that you say that you were able to heal without accessing those memories. Because in traditional therapy, a lot of people believe that talk therapy is the approach, it's the gold standard. I'd love to hear how you discovered this approach and what do you think was the key to deep healing for yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Love that. And thank you again for holding space. It's truly an honor to get to share this with you and your audience. So one of the key moments where it was like, holy moly, guacamole, there's something different that could work, was finding out the purpose of memories. Neuroscience fairly recently discovered that the purpose, neurobiological purpose of memories has nothing to do with storing the past. And so, if you try to go into memories, healing the past, thinking that it's going to heal what you're struggling with in the present, that is a false misconception. The neurobiological purpose of memories is to carry these patterns of navigation that are interpreting and translating your present and potential experiences. And the other kicker is that most memories are unconscious. So if you go into talk therapy and you bring up memories from the past, you are not accessing the unconscious memories that are actually causing the health challenges in your present moment. So you can work with those trauma memories over and over and over again, which is what my past self did. 10 years of therapy, it was, oh, let's go back into all this stuff. And the symptoms just got worse and worse and worse. And that's because when you go in, you activate those pathways of energy and information in the brain and the body, they get bigger instead of being resolved or shrinking or transforming into something new. They usually end up getting bigger, and then they're contributing more navigation to your present experiences, and it's going to increase the symptoms that you want to get rid of. And so, understanding the neuroscience of personal experience and what's happening in the unconscious memories of the body, the brain hemispheres, the triune brain, the nervous system, the internal attachment systems is what unlocked the door to create that healing.
Wow, that's amazing. So I just want to go back a little bit in terms of how did you realize and when did you realize you were able to self-heal?
It was a very gradual process of, well, I'm not going back to the therapies and the med thing because it's just not working. And now things are worse than ever. I don't even know how to engage with a doctor because I can't trust them. I've given my trust to over 100 and it left me completely disabled, worse off than before. And so it was a very gradual process of creating new connections through my triune brain, transform the unconscious memories. And as I gradually started to apply these things, and I noticed they were working, it was the moment of, wow, I'm gonna do what's actually working, right? I finally seeing transformational progress. Like, granted, it's slow and there's a lot of things to heal, but I'm actually seeing a noticeable difference in moment to moment and day-to-day experiences. And this is where the potential of transformation lies. So it's definitely a very gradual journey.
Wow, that's so amazing. Good on you. It was really interesting to hear your story of having come out of 100 debilitating health battles and to be able to self-heal. I've discovered in my own journey that we can heal our bodies, and rather than age, we can actually get younger. I personally feel younger now than I was 6 months and a few years ago. I truly believe that when we can work through and most importantly, let go, we are lighter and it actually affects our bodies and the chemistry behind it. So when I met you and when we spoke, you confirmed what I've always believed. So I'd love to hear when people find that they are stuck in cycles of complex trauma or childhood things that have happened that impact who they are as adults. What is the first step? What can they do to start their healing journey?
That's beautiful. So the first key is having daily practices that connect you with love, awareness, and presence. And when you have that as a lifestyle, your healing becomes inevitable. So much of what we need to heal from is not having full awareness of our own body and our own selves in the moment. And then the unconscious patterns are making choices for us, are reacting to things, having these emotional responses, going through habitual patterns and the different behaviors, the habits, whatever it might be. And so having awareness of yourself and actually being the observer of what's happening holds power to make a new choice, to think a new thought, to have a new response. But you can't make that change inside and out until you are able to be the observer of what is happening and to be the observer of yourself within your experience. And then the next key is so much of what we need to heal is just being disconnected from our bodies. One of the quotes of my inner evolutionary hero, my past self, and I say that because I don't have memory writing this. It was during the amnesia. So I go back through my old content and I'm like, whoa, that's brilliant. No memory, right? But she was saying, if your body isn't feeling the now, it'll feel the then. But it's happening very unconsciously. So if you can't feel your feet on the ground, if you can't feel the temperature on your skin, if you can't feel the pace of your breath, your diaphragm moving, the air coming in and out of your nose, the sound of the birds in the background, just the subtle sensations of presence, then there's a part of your body that is instead reliving the past because of the patterns stored to navigate life, right? Memories are stored as patterns of navigation. So while your body's in the present moment trying to navigate it, it's pulling from information from the past stored inside of it now. And so if the body can't feel the present, it's going to be fishing around for more of that navigational data, and a part of the body will be in the past. And so one of the ways you can recognize that is, how still is your mind? If there are thoughts that are pulling you away from love, where they're more rooted in fear, for example, or the thoughts are pulling you away from presence, where it's taking you to the past or putting you into the future, then there is a part of you that's not connected in your body in the present moment. And that's a fascinating way, because people are like, well, how do I tell if I'm in my body? And it's not actually through your body that you notice it. It's how your mind connects with your body, because your body's unconscious, but you notice your body through your mind. So how present and how connected to love and wholeness is the experience you have through your mind, that tells you how connected you really are to your body in the present moment. And then the other key that helps you know and assess that is, can you notice the feeling of your breath and two pieces of grounding sensory stimulus, such as things in nature, stronger, louder, and more dominant than any of your inner sensations? So if your thoughts are taking over and you can't feel your breath and your thoughts are louder than your breathing, if you can't, fully feel your feet on the ground or hear the birds sing because your mind is noisy, then you're not connected with your body in the present moment. So that's a really helpful assessment tool. And then the third key is to connect with love. Are you in a loving relationship with yourself in the present moment? Not in the past, not in the future, right here, right now. How are you relating with your own existence? And is it from a place of love? If you have daily practices that create a lifestyle of love, awareness, and presence, your healing is inevitable. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be more complex or complicated than that. If you focus on love, awareness, and presence, that's the tool for healing. And that's really where my past self created miracles that blew her mind.
Wow, amazing. I love that you talk about loving relationship with yourself. I think that is so key because there are so many people that think that being in a relationship with someone that is confident, beautiful, independent, or stable is going to help fix them. And they jump from one relationship to another and they never actually self-heal. And that's really, really sad. But I think the hope that you've just given us for those that want to heal, that want to transform, that want to live a healthier, better life, I think the three ingredients that you've just mentioned is so key. Before this recording, I was with my friend and we were talking about that healing aspect of nature and how nature is so complex that our brains don't really know how to comprehend it. It's just inevitably grounds us because you're feeling the stones under your feet. There's a sound of birds or water and trees, etc. And I think that if we aren't being present in the moment, we can't tell that we have a dry mouth, for example, or that our heart rate is rising or we're breathing more rapidly.
And there's a problem when that happens. That's why there are so many people that recommend yoga and meditation. It's for a reason. And a lot of people don't want to do it because it's fluffy or it's woo-woo. But these practices have been around for thousands of years. The reason why we go back to them because it worked for our ancestors. So I want to know, when you talk about fragmentation of self, firstly, what does that mean and how does that show up in daily life? And I'm talking for everyday people. I know that everybody has parts. I want to hear about that because that's definitely not something that's often discussed.
Yeah, so through my unique journey, because I did live with dissociative identity disorder, which is very, very complex and misunderstood, through that, I really had a profound opportunity to understand parts of self in a very unique way. Different personalities or different aspects of self that are so disconnected from each other and so different from each other living in one body. But through that journey, I was able to understand parts of self in a way that makes sense of all human beings and all human experiences. And so as of 2020, I no longer have dissociative identity disorder, which confuses and astounds people because it's commonly referred to that you can never heal from that. Like if you have that, that's just who you are and the way you'll experience things for the rest of your life. But I'm here to say no amount of complex trauma, especially something that happened during childhood before you even had a self to choose what you were experiencing in life, that does not get to define the rest of your life. That does not need to dictate the decades to come. That does not need to be a permanent, unresolvable struggle that you are cursed with forever. It can be a gateway to the greatest expansion you could ever possibly know. It can be an initiation into the limitless power that you never would have fully tapped into otherwise. That being said, through the journey, I was able to really get to know parts of self in a way that goes deeper. So much deeper than internal family systems, so much deeper than traditional parts work, where you're really still working from the psychology of the mind. And I actually developed a body, mind, soul treasure map, a way to visually understand different parts of the body, mind, different aspects of self. You can find out more about this in my body, mind, soul treasure map training. But through that, you really explore parts of the body, mind, including the left right brain hemispheres, the front mid and back brain regions, five states of energy in the autonomic nervous system, the unconscious memories in your body, and your deepest relational needs that are kind of affecting how everything connects and communicates within yourself. And you're noticing aspects of self distinct from the experience of your inner realities. And that's a key differentiator, is to know the parts of the body mind from aspects of self, so your identity is not defined by experience. And so fragmentation of self happens when there are severe or repeated experiences where you are disconnected from the love that you need to thrive, is the simplest way to put it. And so we have these deepest inner needs. I call them attachment needs or your relational needs. And it starts when you're in that early childhood life, like everyone talks about the inner child healing, and it's really going back and tending to those needs that maybe you didn't feel were fully met, and it left a mark or a pattern of energy inside your brain and your body that's still impacting you as an adult. And so those attachment needs, the need to feel safe and secure and provided for, the need to feel supported and connected and intimate vulnerability and closeness, the need to feel seen and loved, valued and wanted, appreciated and celebrated, to feel a sense of belonging, to feel respected and acknowledged and embraced and understood, and to feel that you are important and admire, that you matter, that you have purpose and importance for your being. These deepest needs create the connection between body, mind, and soul. And so when we have moments where those needs are not met and we feel disconnected from the love we need to thrive, then it creates fragmentation of the self, because there's different parts of the body mind that aren't connected and they're navigating from disrupted information. So the experience disrupts the navigational patterns in the brain and the body, and then there's a part of the self that is no longer connected with the wholeness of who you really are. And that shows up in everything we could possibly struggle with in our mental, emotional, behavioral, or relational health and well-being. If there's a pattern of thought, emotion, feeling, habit, choice, tendency, ending up in relationships that aren't healthy, et cetera, there is some level of fragmentation of self to be healed. Anything that is happening in your inner realities that does not feel like love and wholeness coming from presence and awareness can be a sign of, okay, there's a part of me that isn't connected with my wholeness. There's a part of my body mind that's not navigating from the love that is the truth of who I am and what I deserve to experience. And so that is so profound. And that leads to the process of integration, reunification, where you really get to come home to yourself and resolve those patterns at their root cause for lasting change.
Wow, I love that. You have done so much work, not only to assist others, but most importantly, to understand yourself better and to integrate. And I'm just so amazed by everything that you've been able to achieve. And I think the quantum catalyzers that you mentioned, which is also in your consciousness training, and for anyone that wants to check that out, it's in the show notes. So make sure that you go in and have a look and check out that body, mind, soul treasure map training. But I'd love to hear more about the difference between integration and reunification. Is there a difference, and what's the difference?
Beautiful question. When my past self was living with over a dozen independent states of self and a dozen more fragmented aspects of self, so over 20 different parts that were like totally different people in one brain and body, the goal was never to integrate. The goal was never to become one unified person. That was never the plan. And it was because the concept of integration had just kind of a negative energy to it, whereas you have to like kill off these parts of you and become someone you're not, was the impression. And it was like, I'm sorry, I love the parts of me. I love my childhood self that comes forth and is playful. I love the childhood part of me that just wants to cuddle and be held. I love the childhood part of me that is innovative and has ideas. I love these parts of me who have this relentless, fierce warrior courage. And I love the parts of me that are tender and soft and nurturing and gentle. And I love all the parts of me. Why would I ever want to kill off any aspect? I am incredible the way that I am, no matter how that's manifesting in my personal experience.
I also think that's very different to having multiple personalities. You don't go around saying to people, oh, that person has multiple personalities just because they've got different parts. I absolutely agree with what you've just shared, because I think that one person can be both tender and loving and feminine and soft, and also have parts where he or she comes out and there's that warrior and there's that fighter and there's that relentless, don't you dare cross that line and that boundary. Otherwise, you're going to see a part of me that you really don't want to see and deal with, because it's there and I don't use it because I don't need to, but it's there. And that's very different to having multiple personalities, because I think everybody has multiple parts. It shows up in different parts of life. That's different to DID, where you're talking about someone that has dissociative identity disorder and they've got episodes where they pass out and they have memory lapses and they don't even know what happened in that moment. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, absolutely. The difference is when you have a dissociative or personality disorder that stems from complex trauma, is that all the different parts have amnesic barriers to some degree, meaning they can't communicate and they have often oppositional perspectives where they're not necessarily complementing each other, but they're at war with each other. So there's an inner war between the parts because they're not a unified self. And the other difference, the key differentiator, is that when you have a dissociative or personality disorder from complex trauma versus someone who just has different parts, is that the condition from complex trauma causes the brain and the body to have a completely different neurobiological state of activity, meaning the part of you who's nurturing and the part of you who's courageous will have a different level of homeostasis in your brain waves, your heart rate, your neurochemicals, your breath rate. The five key things of the what connects with the nervous system, but you'll have a completely different state of that. And one state of the self might have really dysregulated testosterone, where it's always peaking, really high testosterone and cortisol, and that's their normal baseline homeostasis when they're totally calm and regulated, and they can't get out of that state of brain body activity. And that presents all these different symptoms where there is that different deep level of inner war with the self. And the other key differentiator is that the unconscious memories of the body are carrying alternate patterns of navigation that stem from different types of survival responses. And so, if you have one unified person with many parts, there will be a certain way of responding that's pretty consistent. Whereas someone living with the complex trauma, They might go into a free state one day, and a different day, they're running down the street in the flight stress response, get away from me, don't touch me. Another state, they're aggressively coming at you with a fight stress response. And there's a level of unpredictability
Yeah.
because there's, because of the amnesic barriers, because of the different state of neurobiological activity, and because the body memories are navigating from survival responses that don't have connection. And so that's like the key differentiator, because we do all have parts. So even in the Body, Mind, Soul treasure map I've developed, it understands that, because you can explore DID, borderline personality disorder, and stuff, and also someone with a unified self with many parts. Through the same treasure map, it explores the same parts of the brain and the body, the same aspects of self, but there's a completely different wiring in the brain and the body, which causes a dramatically different flow of energy within the self. And having an understanding of the distinction of that, but also knowing there's a way to approach it to understand all experiences through the lens of neuroscience is really liberating. So thank you for bringing that up.
Wow, thank you so much for sharing insight to that. I'm learning so much every time I speak to you. Now, you mentioned that your healing method was how you fully recovered from complex trauma and DID, and it's able to assist people that have DID, BPD, etc. Why do you believe that's the case? What's the reason why this method is so powerful? Because if it is, it should be in the hands of a lot more people and practitioners. So I'd love to hear about that.
I love that. So the key thing is attachment development. And before I segue into that, one closing sentence from that last question, the key difference between integration and reunification is integration is about making new connections in the brain and the body, whereas reunification is welcoming home all aspects of self to the wholeness of who you are. And so my self never integrated. Since 2020, I don't have DID anymore because I healed it at the root cause, which we'll talk about in a sec. But it was all about reunifying the essence of myself while integrating the pathways, the networks of energy and information in my brain and my body so it could navigate life in a more whole, grounded, unified state of health and happiness, basically. So you don't integrate the self, you integrate the networks of the brain, but that is not you. And when you understand the differentiation between integrating parts of the body mind and reunifying aspects of your true self, it creates so many more doors to have power and authority within your identity and your experience. And so the reason that the healing method that I used worked is because it comes from a deep understanding of body, mind, soul attachment theory, which is something that's actually not known about. The body, mind, soul attachment theory shared through my trifecta treasure trove is not something you'll find on Google. You won't learn it through a psychology degree. You will never hear it from your therapist. It's really a revolutionary take on understanding how your early life experiences teaches your brain and your body how to store information and then navigate your life. And so it goes beyond traditional attachment theory and just like attachment styles. And so when you're a young child, those relational experiences are teaching your brain and body how to navigate your own existence. And so in those moments where your those attachment needs are met or not met, it's teaching the brain and the body, this is how I navigate my identity, my relationships, my thoughts, my emotions, my habits, my choices, my behavior patterns. But it's happening beyond awareness. And the brain and the body are gathering so much more information than just what the mind can perceive. The mind thinks in seconds, minutes, hours, days. The body, the brain is like nanosecond, 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 just gained new information, just learned new things. And you're like, I have no idea what I just learned, but it's going to come out in some way in the way I experience my own existence. And so the reason that this works is because the key to the healing I created and the key to the healing I teach my clients is to create a relational experience between aspects of your inner soul family, not just an internal family like internal family systems model, because that still doesn't understand the neuroscience-based root causes, and it does not understand the liberated essence of your soul, your divine consciousness, your true self. And so when you get to know yourself on a deeper level, which is what my Body, Mind, Soul treasure map training offers, that opens new doors. So when you create a relational experience between aspects of your inner soul family who are flowing through distinct the parts of the brain and the body carrying the past and affecting your present and creating your future as well, you mirror the relational process that first taught your brain and body how to develop. And so instead of working with the surface symptoms or even the data that's stored beneath there, you're going straight to the foundation and rebuilding it. And just like if you're in a house and there's a crack in the baseboard, you could try healing and redoing the crack in the baseboard a million times, but it will keep resurfacing. But then you leave the room where the baseboard is. You're not looking at the baseboard anymore. You go underneath the house to the foundation and you see that something's off there. Something's tilted, not connected right. It's unlevel. You fix that. The issue in the baseboard will never resurface, but you weren't even working on the baseboard to fix it. And it's very similar to healing complex trauma or healing mental health or healing emotional health or healing relationship patterns or healing the bad habits or whatever it might be. You don't want to work with what you're noticing through your mind, what you're manifesting in your outer experiences. You want to go to the foundation of your brain and your body, and that is through attachment development. Everything that exists in you right now developed through these relational experiences. And so, when you have a relational experience between parts of the self, aspects of self and parts of body mind, when you fulfill those deepest inner needs, when you emotionally and somatically feel reconnected with the love that you need, that is the moment where the pathways change for good. And that creates lasting transformation, especially when there's childhood trauma or complex trauma or just something really intense or gnarly. It started from early life. You have to go back to the beginning, but not by revisiting memories. You do not want to revisit the past. That is not the way to create transformation. The past is only a reference point to understand your deepest inner needs and the wiring in your brain and your body in the present. If you're looking at the past as more than just a reference point to understand those two things, it is going to prolong or even stop the deep healing that you're trying to create. It's about creating a relational experience within yourself in the present and feeling the emotional and somatic reconnection with the love that you have always needed. And that is where you heal at the foundation for lasting change.
Wow, that's huge. And I think there's so much to take away from what you've just shared. I want to just go back on when you talk about the neuro pathways. Can they uncross? Can people integrate and then unintegrate?
No. If you fully integrate it, that's it. You're done. You're good. But how deep is that integration? So, with the baseboard example, if you fix up the baseboard in a certain way, there might be no cracks for a really long time. And you're like, I did it. Wow. That issue hasn't come back. It's been 3 years. I'm clearly good. But then maybe another trauma happens, or there's a bigger trigger than normal, or something comes up, and you're like, holy crap, why is this resurfacing? Like, I thought I healed it. Or in the analogy, you might even go to the foundation. You might even go to that deeper layer. You might go to that deeper work, but you actually don't rebuild the foundation. You work with what was existing and you put a temporary crutch. And then over time, that temporary replacement for what was off kind of wiggles out of place. And then boom, that crack in the baseboard resurfaces. And so it's very similar with the healing where you have to rebuild the foundation to heal it. Integration is also such a gradual process. You could get from point A to point B and it feels huge, but it doesn't mean you've gone all the way to Z through the end of the alphabet. Having it be this very progressive journey is natural and normal, and there's different layers to it. Like it wasn't, with my past self, it wasn't, wow, overnight, I'm one unified person. It was a very gradual journey of, okay, I have a little bit more connection between the parts of me, so there's a little less self-sabotage. Okay, I have a little more nervous system. Okay, I have a little more memory of what happened in that dissociative fugue. Okay, I have a little tiny pieces. And then after like a year and a half or so, then it was like I can communicate within myself without having to go into self-hypnosis just to find out what I actually want to choose in the moment because there's so much fragmentation. And then it was just this very gradual process. And then the age-regressive states of self had to each go through the halted neurodevelopment. So in 2020, my brain and my body were in infancy during the first few months, and then in toddlerhood. And it's really awkward to be in an adult woman's body when everything in your inner neurobiological experience thinks that you're 4 years old. It's very uncomfortable. I don't recommend it. It's not fun. And then my brain and my body went through childhood, and 2020 ended with going through adolescence. And it was literally mirroring the neurobiological activity, the hormone regulation, the brainwave, the brain hemisphere connection. style of thinking and perceiving and responding and associating with my body. It went through halted neurodevelopment that had gotten stuck and stopped. And then even after that, there was still this hint of, I can't recognize who I see in a mirror. For 5 years, I couldn't recognize who I saw in a mirror at all. I had no idea who she was. And it was like, hi, cool, you're very unrelated to me. And that was a very gradual process. And so there's also stages of integration. So you can integrate one thing and it is done, it is fully healed, but there might be a thousand things that you have to integrate. And so that's another thing to keep in mind, that it is a very gradual journey and you do need to work from the foundation for it to change. And if you're working with anything less than that, it can create such a reduction of symptoms. It feels like it's healed, but it's not.
You are amazing. I honestly have so much respect for what you have journeyed yourself through. And I'm listening to your story and I'm going, oh my goodness. Because I think for the everyday person, trauma feels like it's something that takes a long time and that's difficult to heal, especially childhood trauma, patterns, behaviors, etc. And I think a lot of the time, people have this misunderstanding and they believe that it's lifelong. If a psychologist says something about your childhood or whatever, it feels to a lot of people like it is a life sentence. And you've cracked the code for yourself and your clients. And I'm guessing it's something that is still a lifelong practice. You still will always be working through bits and pieces. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but I'm guessing that it's not something that you just go, okay, I'm fully integrated and that's it. And now see you later. It sounds like you've found what works really well for you and what works well for your clients. And I want to hear more about the process that you described as heaven on earth from within. Everybody's definition of that is different. And I'd love to know what does that look like in practice for you?
I love that. And I will say, though, honestly, there is a point where I'm like, that's it. I'm good. I'm healed. I'm whole. There's no more healing that I have to do. Yes, there's self-care and there's self-love, and I'll always be nurturing my relationship with myself. I will always be tending to all parts of my body, mind, all aspects of myself. Like, I'll always be having a deeper sense of liberation with my childhood self. Like, there will always be room for expansion. And I think that's the key differentiator, is there is a point where healing can end. And I advocate for that deeply. But to clarify, that's just the beginning of more expansion. So the journey itself doesn't end, but the concept of healing, there's something in me that is not love and wholeness that I need to work on to resolve something from the past that's disrupting my present. That journey should have an end. If you are doing healing work that doesn't have that offered, that doesn't say, yeah, there's going to be this day, you should find a different healing route, especially one that addresses the neuroscience-based root cause of things and can teach you to be your own healer so you're not dependent on anything outside of you to create that transformation. And that's exactly what my work facilitates, especially through my one-on-one mentorship. So anybody can check that out. Link is in the show notes, and I would be honored to serve and support you. I have different packages and custom packages so we can find what works best for you. There should be an end to healing, but it's only the beginning of the expansion. And so the radical reframe I'm always teaching my clients is, forget for a moment what you're trying to heal from. What are you expanding into? And that was a big theme for my past self as well. But I'm expanding into, I can segue into heaven on earth. I'm expanding into my bliss. I'm expanding into my peace, my joy, my wholeness, my inner freedom. I'm expanding into my embodied worthiness and my empowered confidence. I am expanding into a mind that is always calm, clear, still, silent, spacious, where I can do all the things that I want to do, and silence and just grounded being is my natural state. I am expanding into feeling at home in my body, feeling ease and pleasure in my beingness. I am expanding into the empowered joy that my childhood self would know now if she had always known unconditional love in every stage of her journey. To get to know the essence of your true self and to reteach your brain and your body to navigate from love and wholeness, that is what creates heaven on earth. From within. Heaven on earth is not an external experience, because everything we experience happens through our brain and our body. Like, no matter what you're experiencing, oh, I went on this amazing vacation, I flew on an airplane and I stayed at a five star, like all the things you might think of heaven on earth, that's still happening through your brain and your body. So if you rewire your brain and your body, it doesn't actually matter what you're externally experiencing, as long as like you're safe and your needs are met, like obviously like the basic homeostasis of well-being. Beyond that, you get to create heaven on earth because of how you wire your brain and your body to live from empowered joy.
That's incredible. I love that. And for anyone that's really deep in this work or wants to start with this work, Kristen has free gifts, which is also in the show notes. She's got books, she's got her own podcast, which I highly recommend for anyone. Kristen, could you tell us a bit about your podcast, the name of it, and what you guys share about?
Yeah, Kristen's Quantum Catalyzers, the name of my business, same name as my podcast. At the moment, it's all solo episodes, and they're mostly styled like mini master classes. So you really get to dive in deep. We talk about everything from living happily ever after in your everyday moments to the key contributors in your brain and your body to certain struggles you might be experiencing. And you really walk away with some life-changing insights and empowering practices to embody your healed whole self by actually healing and resolving the root cause of what you're going through while tending to the inner relationship you share with yourself in the process.
That's amazing. Kristen, I would love to find out if there's someone that is ready to get on the other side of healing, how can they get there? And what are some of the modules or some of the ways you've taken your clients through the work that you do to help them get to that other side?
Yeah, I love that. So this neuroscience-based approach that I'll share about step by step, it really gets to the root cause and heals everything simultaneously in a way that can feel good in the process and create lasting results that you're desiring. And so this is what I teach through my one-on-one mentorship, and every journey is personalized to perfectly fit the beautiful soul that I am blessed to work with. And so the first step is parts work, and that's where you're getting to know parts of your body, mind, and aspects of your inner self or your inner soul family. You get to know the root cause of your experience through your body mind and understand the true essence of who you are. And so the parts practice allows you to be the observer of your experience and describe it in a way that connects the feeling of your right brain with the language of your left brain. So if you say, for example, as one of the very introductory practices, is just to start to describe all your experiences as there's a part of me who is experiencing this. Or to even take it a step further and say, Kristen is experiencing this. Insert your first name. A part of Kristen is experiencing this. What are they experiencing? And then to actually give language to what you're feeling while developing the capacity to be the observer of it rather than be fully submersed in the experience that can feel very overwhelming. And so once you expand your capacity for self-awareness, self-observation, then you can open doors for healing because those parts of you will trust you more. You can't grow with someone if you don't have a relationship with them. So you don't just jump into all these healing practices and be like, is it working? Am I forcing the change that I'm wanting? It's, I actually need to open a door to have a relationship with this part of me because they want healing, but they want it to come from a place of love and pure intention. And they have to feel that demonstrated repeatedly to build a relationship. So, as you expand the ability to be the observer of yourself and to connect with those parts of you in a whole new way, then you can step into somatic practices. And this is getting grounded and present in your body times 10, because you're not just, okay, I can feel the sensations of my body, I'm here. You're actually working with your body to repattern how it's functioning, basically. And so, for example, somatic vocal alchemy is one of my personalized play prompt prescriptions that I use, and it works with the vagus nerve to create really deep healing. And so, you'll use different vocal vibrations, kind of like singing without specific lyrics or words, but just making these noises that come out. However, maybe it's a melodic song, maybe you want to plug your ears while you're practicing it, it doesn't matter. The vibration you're creating in your throat and the way the vibrations are received through your ears creates a neurophysiological shift in the brain and the body. And it gives you power to adjust the state of your nervous system to create deep regulation and to repattern how it automatically self-regulates. And there's different ways of using your voice for each state of energy in the nervous system and each type of thing you want to heal, how quiet or how loud it is, how deep or how high it is. the way that you're using it? Are you making vowel sounds? Are you chanting something specific? What is the actual vibration creating for you? And so there's a certain way to have specific vocal practices that can transform your nervous system and deeper regions of the brain and the body. As one example, there's also ecstatic dance practices. There's different states of body movements for different regions of the nervous system. In a general sense, it's like mindfulness and self-love amplified, but a very specific way to practice these healing techniques where you are teaching your brain and your body a new pattern of feeling and movement. All of our life experience is founded on our emotions and our choices, but over 80% of those are actually coming from the body's unconscious memories, which is what stores the past and affects the stuff in the present that we're trying to heal. So when you teach your brain and body new patterns of feeling and movement that come from love and wholeness, that opens doors for this deep healing. So these play prompts are things you do in everyday moments. They're just 30 seconds to 5 minutes, most of them. It doesn't take a huge chunk of time. You can do it while you're washing your hands, washing your hair, loading the dishwasher, driving your car, like simple everyday things. But there's a specific practice to create this shift that is teaching your brain and your body a new pattern of feeling and movement that's rewiring the unconscious memories. And there's lots of different stuff. Those are just a few examples, but there's a lot of variety. And then the deeper step is mirror work. And brain spotting is a technique developed by David Grand where he uses certain eye movements to rewire the unconscious memories and the neural networks. And so I took that concept and made a new version of it using mirrors where you can activate specific networks of the brain and the body that are, again, storing the past and affecting certain patterns in your present experiences and rewire them while they're activated through a simple mirror practice where you're just eye gazing with yourself and creating this radical healing where you notice the effects within 24 hours. And then when you stick with the practice on a daily basis, it can take 3 months and you feel like a completely new version of who you are. And so that's kind of an example of the journey through part somatic and mirror work. And as long as you're using that neuroscience-based technique to heal the root cause, that's where the healing can have an end, where you're like, boom, I'm embodying my healed whole self and I have the tools to facilitate it on my own. And now I'm moving into expansion, not stuck in the endless healing.
Wow, fantastic. That's amazing. It sounds like there's a lot of work that you've done that has incorporated other modalities and you've put it together in a way that really speeds up the process for people that are doing this work and going through that process. I love everything that you've just shared. And thank you so much for also talking about heaven on earth from within. It sounds like bliss, and it sounds like something that everybody should be able to have access to and experience. And I think that is our purpose on this earth, to not only be able to experience that ourselves, but to show and help and walk others through their journeys to get them there without being the source or the cause or the reason, I guess. It's really important as well for someone that is supporting someone with DID or BPD or complex PTSD. I think it's really important that we remember that our journeys are for ourselves. We can help or be a catalyst for someone else's healing, but at the end of the day, we've got to focus on ourselves, focus on healing our own things, working through our own things, and let other people find their ways of healing themselves and not be the source or the thing that they cling on to. And I think that's really, really important, especially empaths and fixers. I know a lot of, especially the women that listen to this show, they've landed in relationships where they've become the fixer and they've been stuck in some unhealthy relationships and cycles. So I'd love to wrap up this episode by hearing your thoughts on when these patterns can finally end for the fixers and the healers and the people that attract the wrong partners, and how can they finally start to attract secure, fulfilling relationships when they are ready.
Yeah, I love that. Such a beautiful question. Yes, please. So, the first thing is if you are in any form of a relationship with someone on a healing journey, especially when it's something like BPD or DID, complex trauma related, the most important healthy thing you can do to support their healing is to model your own secure internal attachments by having that relationship with you in a very conscious way. Sometimes, if you connect with someone who's struggling, their unhealed patterns will activate your unhealed patterns, and they'll feed into each other. And it can really intensify the unhealthiness of it, even though it's coming from a well-intentioned place. And so when healing from disrupted attachment development, which is what BPD DID is, there's all these different attached parts that are going to hook on to external sources that can meet their deepest needs, but it's going to happen really unconsciously. They won't realize it's happening. Speaking from experience, you won't know it's happening. You won't even know what to do about it. It's so neurobiological, not conscious mind choice. And you have to really reclaim power to heal yourself. And the more that there's someone out there facilitating or fixing or healing it, the less healing is actually happening, because there has to be a rebuilding of the foundation of internal secure attachments. And so the greatest thing you can do to support someone in that healing is to do that inner work, because the more you embody your healed whole self and model that secure internal attachment with your own relationship with self, the more that presence alone will inspire and facilitate healing than actively trying to fix or support. And then in terms of, when do these patterns end? When can I finally be in like healthier relationships, not always attracting these relationships that are mirroring back the unhealedness of things? Is to really prioritize the relationship you have with yourself to the point where you don't even want or need anyone or anything outside of you. And that is a huge ask. But it leads to the most fulfilling, rewarding, liberating miracles beyond what words could ever describe. Because every time you're wanting to be with a person, anytime you're wanting to fix someone or something, there's actually a part of yourself beyond awareness crying for help, crying for love, crying for something that they need. But it's not showing up as, hi, there's a part of me that needs to be held right now. It's showing up as, I really want to fix this person. I really wish I was cuddling with someone right now. I think I should go on a date. I think I should go out and try to meet people. And it's not obvious that there's something inside of you crying for help, crying for love, crying for healing. Again, you focus on mirroring that relational experience, and you're like, okay, I really wish I was with someone right now. How can I be more with myself? Okay, I really wish that somebody could really just see me right now. Like, God, that would just be everything. Oh my God, I wouldn't feel lonely. I wouldn't feel sad. Like, I feel so joyful. How can you create space to see yourself? And when you prioritize mirroring a relational experience inside of you, it brings to surface everything to be healed. But you don't have to dig around into the past or dig around into the patterns to heal it. The goal is to spark that emotional and somatic, meaning it's felt in your body, distinct from your mind, emotionally and somatically felt in your body. Feel the deepest level of love that you are yearning for, that you are craving and needing and desiring. That is the moment that the root cause of the patterns start to heal. And then by the point where you're in a healthy, healed, whole place, and you actually could be in a healthy relationship with another person, you're not going to be wanting it. It'll be beautiful and you'll enjoy it when it comes, but you're not going to be sitting there being like, I just wish I had my partner. Like, how can I go out and find this person? Or there's this person in my life and I'm going to pursue things even though it might not be healthy, or whatever's coming up. The root cause of that will be so healed, and you'll be able to fulfill your needs just through your own love, awareness, and presence. And so if you prioritize that relationship with self, and your goal is to get to the place where you can meet all your needs without another person, that is where you'll start to create different experiences in your relationships.
Oh my goodness. This episode has been so impactful. And I just want to thank you so much for who you are, for being you, for sharing so much depth and wisdom and being so vulnerable as well. I also want to add as well to anyone that's on this journey and you're thinking, okay, I'm feeling empty or alone. And yes, I know what I need to do, but I can't help myself. I can't help feeling like I need somebody or I need to fill this gap, whether it's with bad habits, whether it's with excessive work or perfectionism or exercise or drugs or alcohol or food. We actually have an episode from my favorite author, Dr. Margaret Paul, who is the author of The Inner Bonding Process. So for anyone that's tuned in to episode 49. Maybe tune in again if you haven't. Definitely check it out as well, because I think that work can go hand in hand with what Kristen is sharing here. And there's so many ways to access that inner wisdom and that love. And I think for me, it's accessing from an infinite place as well, where we can find infinite love and infinite spirituality. And you have enlightened me, because I've always felt the healing journey is never ending. It's this lifelong thing. You can be aware of it, but it's something that is a really long, it's tiring, and you've just shared so beautifully, and I thank you so much for that. So thank you for your time and your awesome wisdom today.
Yeah, thank you. It's an absolute pleasure. And for those who want to dive deeper as well, I do have the Body, Mind, Soul Treasure Map training, which really allows you to explore those 25 regions of body, mind, and soul through neuroscience, consciousness, and infinite love. And you'll walk away with a deeper awareness of yourself, being able to identify the root cause of your personal experience, moving much deeper than surface symptoms or past memories, and open a completely new radical revolutionary door to self-healing by lovingly tending to the relationship you share with yourself. And then, if you want to dive deeper, I do offer one-on-one mentorship with different custom personalized packages. And it's through my neuroscience-based parts, somatic, and mirror work. So you can easily integrate healing in your everyday life and reach that space of embodying your healed whole self. So your journey is about expansion, not endless healing.
Amazing. These are all in the show notes. So for anyone that wants to dive in, make sure that you tune in. And once again, Kristen, thank you so much. I've loved having you on this show. And also, I'm going to link to your social media channels as well for anyone that wants to connect with you. I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of your journey unfold and hearing more about the different ways you are impacting people, your clients, society, and making change, making positive change.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be here, and I'm so grateful to journey alongside you.
It's been absolutely amazing. And for those that have listened and you've gained value from this show, make sure that you leave a comment or a review. Make sure as well that you share this with a friend or someone that will find this episode helpful. It's always a cherry on top when a friend shares an episode personally. And I find that it's those episodes that really count and where people really can break free from different aspects of challenges that they are experiencing in life. So definitely share this episode with your friends and family. Leave a review, leave your comments, especially on Instagram or Threads or Facebook and LinkedIn. Once again, thank you for tuning in to the Inspired to Thrive and Shine podcast.